Chapter 22, The Global Financial Architecture. The Current Architecture. The global financial system rests on reserve assets, assets central banks hold to manage currencies, intervene in markets, and maintain confidence. The principal reserve assets are U.S. Treasuries, the dominant reserve asset because of the size, liquidity, and depth of the U.S. government bond market. Gold, a traditional store of value that carries no government credit risk. Special drawing rights, SDRs, an international reserve asset created by the IMF. Other currencies, including the euro, yen, pound, and yuan. This architecture has worked for decades. But the global economy is changing. US debt is rising. The global economy is becoming more multipolar. Economic power is spreading across more countries. And none of the major reserve assets is directly linked to productivity. The system is not broken. It is simply designed for a different economic environment. The limits of the current architecture. The existing system has four broad limitations. Dependence on the United States. The dollar remains central to global reserves, making the system heavily dependent on the US Treasury market and US fiscal policy. Concentration. A small number of currencies dominate global reserves, even though economic production is increasingly distributed across the world. No productivity linkage. Traditional reserve assets represent financial claims or stores of value. They do not directly participate in measured improvements in economic efficiency. Exposure to changing conditions. Central banks must manage inflation, interest rates, debt sustainability, geopolitical risk, and slowing growth within a system designed largely around conventional financial assets. The result is a reserve architecture that remains functional, but increasingly disconnected from the economic transition taking place underneath it. The case for productivity-linked reserve assets. A productivity-linked reserve asset would introduce a different relationship between finance and the real economy. Instead of relying entirely on fixed claims, the asset could participate in measurable improvements in productivity. Its potential advantages are fourfold. Alignment. Returns would be connected to economic efficiency, rather than simply the expansion of output. Diversification. Central banks could add a new asset class alongside treasuries, currencies, gold, and SDRs. Countercyclicality. Properly designed, payments could rise with productivity and fall when productivity weakens, reducing pressure during downturns. Sustainability. Productivity gains can come from doing more with existing resources, rather than continually consuming more resources. The important distinction is that productivity is not the same thing as economic growth. An economy can become more productive by producing the same output with fewer inputs. That is precisely the type of improvement a financial system operating within physical limits should be able to recognize. The productivity bond as a reserve asset. The productivity bond could eventually become part of central bank reserve portfolios. Its proposed characteristics are straightforward. Sovereign backing. A national productivity bond would be issued by a government and backed by the credibility of that sovereign. Liquidity. A viable reserve asset would require deep secondary markets and reliable pricing. Productivity linkage. Its return would be connected to a transparent national productivity index. Risk management. Flaws, caps, and other design features could limit extreme outcomes. The attraction is not that productivity bonds would replace treasuries. It is that they would give central banks another instrument, one whose return is connected to productive performance. Today, central banks can hold assets linked primarily to government credit, currencies, or commodities. A productivity bond would introduce another category. A sovereign asset linked to economic efficiency. The transition. The transition would be gradual. No central bank would abandon existing reserve assets overnight. A new instrument would first need a credible index, transparent governance, reliable markets, and a demonstrated history of performance. A possible progression is Phase 1 Diversification. Small allocations are introduced alongside existing reserves. Phase 2 Integration. As liquidity and confidence develop, productivity bonds become a recognized component of reserve management. Phase 3 Global Adoption. If the instrument proves useful, productivity-linked assets could become a significant part of the international reserve system. The objective is not to replace the existing architecture immediately. It is to give the world another foundation. The implications for US Treasuries. A productivity-linked reserve asset would not necessarily undermine the treasury market. It would create competition and diversification. If central banks eventually allocated part of their reserves to productivity bonds, demand for treasuries could decline at the margin. That could affect yields and increase pressure for fiscal discipline. But diversification is not the same as collapse. The US would continue to have enormous economic and financial advantages: a large economy, deep capital markets, a widely used currency, and a highly liquid government bond market. The change would simply mean that the dollar's reserve position would no longer be the only major pathway available to central banks seeking sovereign liquidity. That could ultimately make the global system more balanced. The role of gold. Gold would remain relevant. Its fundamental attraction is different from that of a productivity bond. Gold carries no sovereign credit risk and has served as a store of value for thousands of years. A productivity-linked reserve asset would not eliminate that function. Instead, central banks could hold both: gold for monetary and geopolitical insurance, productivity-linked assets for participation in productive economic performance. The two serve different purposes. The evolution of SDRs. The special drawing right offers an especially interesting possibility. The SDR was created by the IMF as an international reserve asset. It is currently based on a basket of major currencies. The concept could potentially evolve. A future SDR could incorporate a productivity component, linking part of its value or return to a global productivity index. That would create an international reserve instrument connected not merely to national currencies, but to the productive performance of the global economy. Such a redesign would require international agreement, credible measurement, and significant institutional development. But conceptually, it points towards something important. A global reserve asset whose underlying reference point is the productivity of the global economy itself. The Global Productivity Index. A global productivity-linked financial system would require a credible measurement framework. The Global Productivity Index, GPI, would provide that foundation. Conceptually, the GPI could combine national productivity measures using weights reflecting the size of participating economies. Its effectiveness would depend on three principles. Independent measurement. The index should be produced by a credible statistical institution, rather than by the issuer of the financial instrument. Transparent methodology. The inputs, calculations, revisions, and weighting system should be publicly documented. International governance. Participating countries would need confidence that no single government could manipulate the index for financial advantage. The index is therefore more than a number. It would become part of the financial infrastructure. If trillions of dollars of financial claims were linked to productivity, measurement would need to be treated with the same seriousness as monetary statistics, inflation data, and national accounts. The new global financial architecture. The emerging architecture would not necessarily replace the existing one. It would add a new layer. A mature productivity-linked system could contain three principal instruments: national productivity bonds, sovereign bonds linked to national productivity; global productivity bonds, international instruments linked to global productivity; productivity-linked SDRs, redesigned international reserve assets incorporating global productivity. Together, these instruments would create a financial architecture in which productive efficiency becomes an investable and measurable economic variable. The significance goes beyond a new type of bond. For centuries, the financial system has been built largely around claims on future monetary income. Those claims work best when the underlying economy continues expanding. A productivity-linked architecture introduces another possibility. Financial claims that participate in the economy becoming better, not merely bigger. That distinction becomes increasingly important as demographics slow, resources become constrained, and perpetual material expansion becomes harder to assume. The global financial system does not need to abandon the dollar, treasuries, gold, or existing institutions. It needs another option. The productivity bond is one proposal for creating it, a sovereign financial instrument that connects capital markets to measurable improvements in economic efficiency. If the 20th century built a financial architecture around expansion, the 21st century may need one built around productive prosperity.